Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. It's the end of the month again. We've got our patrons joining me to discuss the topic of this month. If you were to add any technology into Fallout, what would it be and what would it do? And I'm curious about this one. I have a few ideas, but I don't have a lot of ideas. And I think maybe some of our patrons are going to come up with some things that I totally didn't expect, but that's kind of par for the course. That's the way it goes. And welcome back to everybody joining us this week. I'm just going to read through everyone on the list. And then when I'm done reading, I'm going to count to three and you guys all make the sound of the technology that you're going to be adding into Fallout. Get creative with it. We've got Nova and Adam's Child, Germinator, Cadpat, Lil Green, Brachio, Dreamer Ash, I'll say the whole name there. Azier, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Welcome to the show. Main Monkey, Void, and Pumpkin King joining me again. Some of you guys are regular, some of you are new, but welcome back. Are you ready to do your technology sound? Here we go. Get ready to unmute. One, two, three. That sounds like a robot that I'm going to have to fight. That's what that sounds like to me. Welcome back, everybody. Pumpkin said in the pre-chat that he has an idea he would like to share to get us started. Pumpkin, when it comes to Fallout technology, what are you adding? And before we get into this, I definitely want some details here. Like, is there technology that just kind of works in the lore? Is it pre-war tech? Is it post-war tech? Is the technology connected to some specific group, like, I don't know, the Institute or something like that? Also, does it have any gameplay ramifications? These are all things that I'm kind of wondering about. But get us started here. What kind of technology are you thinking about?
Well, I'd like to go more in depth on the space technology in this series, because we see a lot of it, but it's not like we don't physically get to see it in action. So, like, I think the closest thing we get to, other than, you know, the Captain Cosmos power armor, which is supposed to be like some space armor, or like in-game that isn't a Creation Club, are the rockets from ArcJet in 4,
I Jet think. Rockets?
The yes,
jet,
that is
the,
correct.
The rocket ones. But like, other than that, we've seen the lunar lander, all that. I want to see a rover. I want a companion rover in this.
Okay, wait. So, okay, you just blew my mind, because we don't, except for Fallout 2, there aren't even cars. There's no vehicles at all. Yeah. But you're just like, give me a space rover. Give me a moon rover.
Big. It could be like the size of dog meat.
Like a little guy? Oh, so
yeah,
okay.
Like, yeah, like a little guy. Like a rover, not a drivable vehicle, but like little rover.
So like a,
like the Mars rover.
Okay, so this is where my brain has now gone, is Fallout 4, where you can like adjust all the different robots and make them the different body parts. Are you thinking you could like find a rover out in the world, but then you could also take those parts and then turn like, kind of, I don't know, Codsworth into a little rover companion that just follows you around?
It could be that. You could have like it be like a rover robo brain, which we've technically seen something close to it in the TV show.
Right. Yeah.
I want a rover, but like it has to act like the rover from the movie Planet 51. Like it has to act like a dog.
It has a dog personality. That kind of makes sense, because different kinds of robots tend to, I mean, they're different in personality. So for example, a Mr. Handy has this like kind of like English butler kind of personality, right? But then you've got the combat handies, which are like, I don't know, sergeant whatever, and they sound like an American military guy. Like they all have these different personalities. So you're thinking something that like acts like a dog.
Like it was made for like space. That's what it was made for. But it like it's given like the AI that's like of a dog, or like the brain of a dog.
So now you've got me thinking about like Fallout New Vegas and transplanting and like, a dog brain into the machine.
But like this is not a dog. It's got the wheels and everything of a rover.
of a, yeah, you got robot-y there while you said that, which was perfect for you saying Rover. Would its name be Rover?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so perfect.
Yeah.
It's genius. This is great. I love this idea. All right. Let's open this up. Who would like to chime in? Because this is a fun idea to start off with. Void has some thoughts on this. What do you think, Void?
So I enjoy this idea quite a bit. And I have a slight suspicion as to why he chose something like this. But
because he likes dogs?
No, about like all the lunar stuff. But we'll get into that at the end of the show. I love this, absolutely. I think that it should probably be in an abandoned vault that was going to be filled as a legitimate test for a space, like a moon base.
Like a moon base vault, like a vault where they'd be testing out people to see if they would be able to work on a moon base,
yeah.
And then also incorporate other animals on the moon base, which,
right,
that kind of thing.
Which, so basically, like, there's, I don't know if it's a theory or if it's confirmed or something, whatever, I can't remember, but like the vaults were supposed to be tests for a space base.
Right, right.
In it fact, is confirmed, so, because, yes, of that whole thing is confirmed through Nuka World. So,
okay,
right. So, early on, it was one of those like Fallout Bible things that was revealed, and then later on, they've continued to expand on that concept. So it seems like, Pumpkin is saying, it seems pretty well confirmed that the vaults are tests for what it would be like for individuals to live in extreme circumstances for long periods of time, isolated from everyone else, like you would be if you sent a bunch of people in a big ship into space to go colonize a planet. So there you go.
So that's where I think the dog, the rover should be.
The dog bot.
In a space test station.
Yeah. That makes sense. I like that. CatPat's got some thoughts. What do you think, CatPat?
In regards to the rover, when he was describing it, I was immediately thinking like the alien probe from Shelter, because that's like a little companion you can get.
Mm-hmm.
But another thought I had was, if it's kind of like a little Mars rover type thing, it technically there would be a way for it to fight, because even in modern day or like our timeline, there's pincel mounts. I can't remember. I don't know if that's the right term. That's why I've heard it being called, but it's basically just the machine gun mounts that can connect to an automatic turret. Or not automatic, but.
Right. Okay. So you could equip it with weapons, take it out into the field as your companion to help you fight stuff, that kind of thing, which ties into the whole adjusting your robots, like turning Mr. Handy into a big murder machine, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like modern day light armored vehicles generally have some sort of machine gun on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And those machine guns are, you're able to take them off if need be,
right,
to like clean them or stuff like that.
Right,
so,
right. Adjustable attachments.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Anybody else have any thoughts on the dog nature of this robot? I feel like Nova, you've got to have, you're the dog guy. You've got thoughts on dogs.
I'm just imagining the soldier rover just following around the Commonwealth now. Yeah, that's the first Mars rover.
Yeah, yeah. If it looked like that, that would be cool too. Like if it was authentic and,
yeah.
I mean, it ties into the like vintage technology feel, because like an old Mars rover would be, I mean, it's not old, but it would be older in the range of those things.
It's only 1997 tech, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, that was before my time, so it's a little old to me.
Yeah, it's a little past the 50s and 60s, which seems to usually is the stopping point for the like the design and aesthetic side of, and like even just the music and stuff. But yeah, I like that. That sounds cool.
Well, I was getting into. I'm wondering what its purpose would have been, though, on the an actual moon base. If it would have been like a maintenance repair droid, or if it would have been just like shuttling supplies, or what would have been the actual purpose of the small little rover on a moon base, though?
It fetches things. That's why it's a dog.
Go get it, boy.
Hey, yeah, hey, go fetch some of those the moon rocks over there and bring them back. Yeah.
If you're surrounded by moon rocks on the moon already, do you really need to go collect more?
I don't know. It feels like the kind of justification that you would find in a Fallout game, because somebody was an idiot and it got past like QA and inspection or whatever, and they're
it is designed by consensus, and it also got past a I'm forgetting what it's called, where you pitch it to a large crowd of just generalized people and you give them their feedback.
Committee, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a committee. A committee would be experts. Like you bring in just people, random people off the streets. And, like,
I got you.
I'm forgetting what you call that anyway. So just like, well, we need to justify this somehow or another. How does the general public feel about spending money on this? So like, ooh, we like dogs. Yeah, let's make a dog.
Everyone votes for it. Like, let's name yeah, exactly. it Bodie McBoatface. Yeah, and that's how that stuff happens. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that totally makes a lot of sense. Adam's Child has some thoughts. What do you think, Adam's Child?
I think it would be really funny if Vault Tech thought, hey, it's cheaper to build one emotional support animal than to buy or breed several. So let's just make one that will live forever because you can't kill companionship.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, or yeah, I feel like there's a story there. Like, you know how when you uncover certain things in the game and you find out there's a story of the history, like the scientist who invented it was lamenting the loss of his dog, so he took his own dog's brain and put it in the robot, and then that became the prototype for the rest of them. Yeah, I could totally see something like that playing out. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, this has been a lot of fun. This is a really fun suggestion to start us off, Pumpkin. Any other thoughts, Pumpkin, before we move on? We've got other people with some ideas we have to get to, but...
I do have a question just about the vault itself. So, Pumpkin, do you think the vault itself would be set like somewhere deep in the desert, in, like a toxic waste dump or something like that, to simulate being bathed constantly in the solar radiation? Or do you think it would just be more of a test vault itself?
You do one more time. I was talking. Okay. I had somebody off screen.
Oh, okay. Do you think that the vault itself would? They would try and make it as realistic as possible, and they would actually dump radioactive waste outside of the vault to kind of simulate the lunar surface being bathed constantly in solar radiation. Or do you think they would just be just a generic test vault, like somewhere deep in the desert?
Knowing Vault Tech, they would probably spend the money to do the first option.
I think they would make money that way, honestly. It's like, oh yeah, just dispose your toxic waste right here and just pay us a little fine, please. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Any last thoughts, Pumpkin? Anything else you want to add to this one? Nope, you're good? All right, who would like to go next? We've got CatPat with some thoughts. I saw your hand go up. And what are you thinking, CatPat?
Okay, so I have two different ideas. Just let me pull up my notes app. My first idea is some sort of like deep sea power armor type thing.
Sure, yeah. So deep sea power armor. So you're talking like kind of stylized, like the old diving machines that they used to use that looked like kind of like power armor with the dome on the head. I'm thinking like BioShock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot remember the exact name of... what it's called. I know someone in the Twitch chat is probably screaming it at the screen right now, but...
like the old diver's gear, where they would have the hose attached to the suit with the big dome head.
Yeah, because, like, power armor probably isn't good at certain depths due to, like, atmospheric pressure and all of that. So maybe they built a special type of power armor... It was still in prototype, like the XO1, but it was meant to help like deep sea welders or something like that, kind of like BioShock.
Okay, so you got me thinking here. What if one of the most difficult things to do in a military campaign is to move troops from water environments to land environments, right? The Marines, the storming of the Normandy beaches, that sort of thing, right? What if you had a bunch of soldiers in power armor you could drop off the coast down to the sea floor, and then they would march up out of the water on their own, like with no boats, you know, like nobody would even know they're coming, that sort of thing. I could see that being used for like military ops to invade China or something like that.
Oh yeah, and that could actually, the power armor could actually lead to different areas, like, because let's say, for example, the Enclave or whatever decided to have a testing facility in the newly annexed Hudson Bay. So they have all these research facilities at the bottom of the bay testing a whole bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. But after the bombs fell, maybe something leaked and now there's a whole bunch of irradiated fish and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. One of the main things I put was Titan whales.
Okay, so we're moving from this type of technology to the side effects of this kind of thing. And so you'd end up with all these crazy sea creatures. So are you thinking like in the game you would go underwater? Because there's a lot of water locations. This is one of the things people lament about Fallout 4, is that they actually cut a lot of the content that was going to be along the coastlines and maybe even in the water. So like you could go into the water and end up having to fight like giant mutated whales or something like that.
Oh yeah. And like they could do a whole storyline with it. Like maybe at the bottom of this research facility, they're creating like a tsunami machine or something like that to attack China with.
Yeah. Yeah. Using like natural weather events to actually be weapons. Yeah. That's a cool idea.
We know that it works. They Fallout 76, I can't remember the exact vault, but Skyline Valley's vaults, they have a weather machine.
Right, right. Yeah, in fact, there's a lot of stuff in 76 about manipulating the weather and all of that kind of thing. Yeah, I could see both of these working. I see people wanting to chime in here. I see a number of hands. Let's go to Germinator. He hasn't had a chance to chime in yet. What do you think?
I'm just wondering. I thought that power armor, as it is, just the frame was already designed to be air and watertight to begin with.
Yeah, it's. I guess the question I have is, up to what pressure amount? Like, does it work
exactly
underwater certain depths? Does it work in space? Probably, but like, I don't know what those boundaries are, you know?
Well, I mean, I did have a quick look then, but there is no defined maximum depth. So theoretically, you could dive down to the Marianas.
Maybe. That would be crazy. Wouldn't it be crazy if that was like actually one of the things that it was designed to do and didn't have a problem doing? Like, that actually worked fine? You know, that'd be interesting. Void, what do you think?
This would finally give us lore with the mutated whales and the massive whales. It would finally give us lore, an actual storyline for Olpeg. And Logan, I know you wanted to say this.
I'm going to fight you.
I still have no vocals coming from Void. So that was just out of left pocket.
That's so weird. I don't know why he can't hear him. So he was talking about this would like create actual lore for the mutated whales. Do we want to let Pumpkin expand on this? So at least he gets to chime in.
Let Logan explain it. Yeah. He'll explain it better than I will.
Pumpkin, go ahead. Cause he stole your thunder, but you can still chime in about it.
Chad, Pat, what you didn't hear from Jeremy was he was talking about the story of Olpeg and it would finally give us an answer for what Olpeg actually is. And because Olpeg is rumored to be a ghoulified whale. In Fallout 4.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what Jeremy said.
Yeah. So this would connect directly to that lore. That's a good point. It hadn't occurred to me.
Yeah. And something to add back on, sorry to interrupt, but something to add on to the comment before is that, yes, it doesn't have a stated max depth, but every 100 meters, if I'm not mistaken, it adds another atmosphere pressure to whatever you're in.
Yeah, it like doubles. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's every 10 meters.
Every 10 meters. Yeah, it's, and, yeah. Ugh. I mean, water's heavy. It makes sense.
Water is 1,000 times denser than air.
Yeah, that's
if
it's,
ever. Yeah,
just pretty crazy.
If you remember the Ocean Gate disaster, it took that big sub and squashed it to the size of a soda can.
Right, right. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on underwater power armor or any of these other things, Olpeg, mutant ghoul whales, anything like that?
What the first thing that comes to mind for me is like recovering of technology from sunken Chinese subs.
Yeah,
that's kind of like, especially with the Ghost Fleet from Fallout, that they talk about Fallout 4, that you don't really need to recover the actual sub itself. You just send down divers who can just cut and steal whatever they want to without really a time limit. You just go down there, do whatever you need to do, recover whatever like encryption keys you need to, any technology you think might be useful or possibly any survivors that are inside of the compartment, just say, okay, either get in the sack or you're gonna get crushed.
Yeah, yeah. That like this.
Why does that sound like a Brotherhood mission?
Yeah.
It might very well be.
So like this butts right up against like BioShock, because you could build out lore about some enterprising Mr. House kind of person who builds some sort of location on the bottom of the sea. And then now you've got a whole DLC to the next Fallout game where you go underwater in one of these suits and then you go into what's effectively Rapture. Was that the name of the location?
Yeah, Bioshock? Rapture. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And building off of what you said earlier, Tom, with basically sending sappers on, or Marines down to the bottom of the ocean, have a march. It sounds like DD tanks from D-Day.
Yeah.
Duplex drive tanks that actually could float because they had a canvas skirt and they were right. supposed to land with the first wave. Didn't happen in Omaha. Only like three of them made it. The other ones floundered out. But it happened. They were trying.
They were trying. Like, yeah. But that, can you imagine being the Chinese and being like, it's a nice day at the beach. And then all of a sudden, like a battalion of American power armor soldiers just march up out of the water out of nowhere without a boat in sight. That would be insane.
It feels like it would be Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. The very final battle where they're fighting on what is Chewbacca again? What planet is he from?
Yeah. It has that like it's called the Kirk sounds.
If you remember that scene, it was just wave after wave of droids that was marching out of the ocean onto the beach. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. That could totally be a thing. This is really cool. Ken Pat, any last thoughts on this one?
Not on this, but a little side thing that I think would be really cool. I remember you were talking about how Colt is in the Fallout universe a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Colt Canada just announced the new C7 for the Cath. I think that would be honestly really cool to add into Fallout.
Yeah.
Even though it's different universe. I'm sorry, the Fallout 4 assault rifle is just gone
it's,
awful.
It's looking. Weird looking. Yeah, everybody talks about that. Yeah, I mean, it's like if now that Fallout is a much even bigger thing than it has been in the past because of the success of the TV show, you have to wonder if there will be some crossover branding. Although I can't see Bethesda going out of the way to crossover branding with a gun manufacturer because of potential blowback from that. But yeah, it would be cool to see actual like real modeled weapons based on real companies. That would be cool. Cool.
Yeah, especially cool like pre-World War II guns. Because
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our timeline diverges around then.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the time, well, that's a whole nother topic, but yes, a lot of the timeline.
I saw the video, but
maybe even the best way to say that would be a lot of the timeline has coincidences through that point. Maybe, I don't know.
They do have a lot of pre-World War II guns inside the games.
That's true. Yeah, there are a lot there. But yeah, thanks for chiming in on this one. We got to keep moving. Who would like to bring up the next topic? I see Adam's child. I see your hand. What are you thinking, Adam? I'm just calling you Adam.
That's just how it goes. That's fine. Doesn't matter. Call me whatever you want. It's your podcast. I thought maybe a personal energy shield. I don't know whether it would be an attachment to a Pip-Boy or some sort of belt or something. I just have an idea that you have a fusion core powering some sort of circuitry that could create a personal energy shield around you. I don't know if it should be expendable or if it just regenerates, but I definitely know its weakness are pulse weapons because like if you EMP it, it's done.
Right.
And I think if you have it equipped, if you're not in power armor, it should have a slow radiation leak onto your health. And if it is equipped to power armor, it then adds on to the amount it drains the power.
The fusion core?
Fusion core.
Yeah.
For your power armor.
Yeah. Interesting. So you're thinking that we're going to take what are effectively super soldiers and make them even more like Halo? Is that where we're going?
Basically, yeah. I thought either Halo or Helldivers portable mm-hmm. energy shield.
Yeah. Pack. Oh, I like that. I like the idea of having to manage it rather than it just being like an extra layer of armor around you.
Yes.
Because then there are gameplay mechanics around that. Like, oh, we're coming up against a bunch of people with laser rifles. This can block that. Let's establish, or maybe you have one guy in power armor. This could be a Fallout 76 thing for a raid even, where you have like one guy in power armor who has an energy shield he can actually hold up, kind of like Reinhardt from Overwatch. And then he can protect the squad. And then the rest of the squad can like manage around that. You know, like I could see something like that. Totally making sense. Yeah. So Germinator has some thoughts. What do you think, Germinator?
If we look back at Fallout 3, and I think even in some areas in New Vegas and 4, we do have energy barriers. Think of the simplest one. Think of when the Brotherhood charged at the Enclave, and they had to punch through all the energy barriers.
Yeah,
I'm just
so,
wondering whether one fusion core is going to be enough to power that kind of thing, because even in game lore, it's very, very power hungry.
Right. So, but like I would imagine, and just chime in for Adam Stahl, feel free to chime in. I imagine it would be on like a much smaller scale, like a personal kind of thing.
Oh yeah. I either thought it would only be in the direction that you are pointing, or something to where it like is just a bubble around you somehow. Like, obviously, it wouldn't be able to go fully around you because then it would hit the ground. But
or like an actual shield that you would hold in your left hand while wielding another weapon in your right, and then you would actually look like a knight in armor.
Like in Halo.
Yeah, like in Halo. Sure.
But like I said before, I said if it was just powered by a fusion core, obviously it would probably need a lot of energy and probably be unstable if you don't have power armor and leak radiation onto you, or could double the amount of power it sucks out of the power armor.
Right. Or it's only effective until like every time it gets hit by, say, like an energy weapon, it chews through the power because it has to like it takes power away. Right. So it lowers the power in your power core. So it becomes a like from a gameplay standpoint, it's a cost analysis of like, how long do I use this? But if I use it too long, it'll sap all the energy, and then I can't even use my power arm at all, and I have to get out, right? So now you have the choice of, like, do I deflect things? Do I take cover? Like, do I have enough fusion cores to replace this if this one goes bad? You know, that kind of thing. I like that.
And if you get a pulse grenade thrown at you, you're basically screwed.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that too. CadPat had some thoughts. What do you think, CadPat?
Okay, when you first said shield, the immediate first thing that came into my mind was The Division, if anyone knows that series, because they have, in the second game, a ballistic shield that folds out, which, honestly, if you inlay it with the shield emitting whatever, I think that would be a lot better, because you would still have some protection even if the shield broke, but it would be a lot less. So maybe
so it's like a physical shield with an extra layer of energy that just becomes even more effective when it's powered on.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Heck, maybe you could even turn it off and on depending on which type of damage is coming towards you.
Right. Physical damage, you don't need the energy component. But then if there's lasers and plasma, you turn on the energy component. But if somebody's going to blow through your energy, you turn it back off. Yeah. That seems interesting, too. I like that. That's kind of cool. Anyone else have any thoughts on energy shield? Azir, welcome to the show, by the way. I'm so glad that you decided to join us. What are you thinking?
I'm trying to remember, but I think it's Forbidden West. Aloy finds those shields that actually fit on the wrist, and she uses it as a glider for the rest of the game. But the original purpose was a shield, energy shield, and it actually comes right off the wrist like a Pip-Boy would.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Would you put it on? Would it be something that the Pip-Boy can do, like a module that gets added into the Pip-Boy, or would it be something you have to wear on your other wrist?
I'm thinking it's like the robot workbench. You have to add attachments to it.
Yeah.
At different levels of shield. You can switch between ballistic, energy, radiation shielding.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, though, because if the Pip-Boy is already on your left arm and you're right-handed, then that would be where you would wield your shield anyway. And then you could turn your wrist so that the face of the Pip-Boy faces outward, and maybe that's where it generates the shield from.
You could do like a dome or like a forward facing shield or something.
Yeah. Just make sure you don't turn it on and then twist your wrist back, because then you'll just like clobber yourself in the head with the energy.
Well, Fallout's known for its safety standards and stuff with its products, so I don't think that'll probably be an issue.
It's probably fine. It's totally fine. Yeah. That makes sense. Anyone else? Any other thoughts on energy shields? All right. I think we're wrapping this one up. Adam's Child, any final thoughts? This is another cool idea. I really like the idea of doing like a melee build with a shield and like, I don't know, a super sledge or something, and, you know, hitting people.
I really like the ideas. My final thought is it would make knights in the Brotherhood of Steel even more cool if they were having some form of melee, like an Assaultron blade, and then they had their own personal mini energy shield. They would look very scary coming at you.
That would be really cool. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And then we could expand this out using Pumpkin's idea of having a robot dog and instead have a robot horse that they ride on like a horse.
Perfect.
Perfect. That's, no problems with that idea at all. All right, who would like to go next? I saw Void's hand first. We'll do Void, and then Azir, we'll get to you next. Void, what are you thinking?
So, as we're all nerds here, have we all seen the movie Avengers Age of Ultron?
Yes.
I'm going to take the silence as a yes.
Yes. I have a feeling we all probably have.
In Avengers Age of Ultron, there's a scene where this Hulk goes freaking wild. Tony Stark calls in something called Veronica, which is the Hulkbuster suit, comes down from space, and basically is armor on top of his already, like, Iron Man suit.
Yeah, it's like double armor. It's like extra big armor. Also, exactly. I'm going to do the well actually so somebody doesn't have to comment on Spotify. Isn't Veronica the personality in the suit, and the suit itself is the Hulkbuster?
Veronica is the nickname of the suit.
Is it the nickname? I thought it was the personality of the software.
If you look on the satellite, it is Veronica.
Is Veronica the satellite?
Veronica is the nickname of the suit. He has nicknames for all the suits.
Someone in chat says, is the deployment system?
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody's going to comment and let us know about this.
He has a line in there that says, I think it's Friday, call Veronica. Or, like, bring in Veronica or whatever. Okay. So,
well, anyway, not to rabbit trail this too much, but... Yeah.
So, I would like to see if we get more space content or even, like, it's something with the Brotherhood where they're severely advanced in technology. I would like to see a projectile launch system and a scene, like, a cinematic scene where whether it be the player character or not, someone in a power armor suit just gets, for lack of a better term, Hulkbustered up into like a Liberty Prime size, if not like half the size of Liberty Prime.
So like a power
just
armor
a massive suit.
Yeah, on top of other power armor. Just a double decker suit.
Yeah.
There's a pizza place not too far from where I live that makes double decker pizzas, which I think is one of the dumbest ideas you possibly can have, because you could just order a second pizza and put it on top of the first pizza.
It, you know, Chicago builds their pizzas upside down, so...
Yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But anyway, I'm rabbit trailing again. All right, yeah, double suit, extra large size, walking around. Is this for, like, specifically... This feels like the kind of thing that the Brotherhood might try to build in order to deal with, like, behemoths?
Yeah, this would be a behemoth fighter.
Yeah.
If not bigger than a behemoth. Probably like the cut massive glowing one from Fallout 4.
Yeah. The one that's like the tall, skinny, weird looking thing. Yeah. Yeah. I like that because, well, like, to your analogy, the Hulkbuster suit is bigger than Hulk, but it probably needs to be in order to try to combat him. I like this idea. All right. Opening it up. Adam's Child has some thoughts. What do you think, Adam's Child?
So could we possibly get a Pacific Rim moment where we have a kaiju-sized Brotherhood of Steel armor, almost Liberty Prime, going against perhaps, I don't know, a giant Deathclaw?
Yes.
I would love that, yes.
Using what kind of ship was it that he used as a baseball bat to hit that giant kaiju?
Oh, yeah, that was a thing, wasn't
it? It was a container ship. It was container ship. I don't know why you didn't just say mix it with your idea and have him fight a titan whale.
Taking out old peg or picking up old peg and using it to hit the giant death claw
even
like
better.
A bat, because a whale's kind of like a long tube shaped animal. I don't know why I needed to add that explanation about how whales are shaped, but there you go. There's a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough, because it asks so much of you. To dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion and meet challenges head on. And the love part? Comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transforms lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries, learn about the benefits, and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. It's time for that spring reset. I'm taking a look at everything in my closet and figuring out that, oh no, this absolutely needs to go, and it's about time I replace things so that my clothes aren't older than my 15-year-old. Now, you might think that they lasted that long because they were well-made, but no, they're in terrible condition. Unlike the new jeans I just got from Quince. Jeans have always been my personal go-to because you can kind of wear them for lots of different things, but maybe they're not your thing. Maybe you're looking for, I don't know, 100% European linen with insanely soft flow-knit activewear fabric. It's definitely getting warmer, and their flow-knit activewear is moisture-wicking, anti-odor, and soft enough that you'll actually want to wear it every day. So pick out what you want. You can't go wrong because they have prices 50 to 60% less than similar brands. And like I said before, they are high quality. I continue to wear their clothes all the time. And I know that these new jeans are going to last me a lot better than the other things in my wardrobe. And on top of it, they look great. They're so comfortable. And I spent just as much on the jeans that I am now cleaning out of my wardrobe. So if you're looking for something better, just all around better, go check out Quince. So go do it right now. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. Go to quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/falloutlore. This is a great idea. CadPat has some thoughts. What do you think, CadPat?
I'm sorry. Void is still coming in broken and unreadable.
Oh yeah, yeah. So he was saying like a big extra large suit of power armor, kind of like the Hulkbuster that you would fit on top of other power armor, and then we discussed how that could turn into fighting a kaiju sized. That could be even really bigger, and then you fight a big giant Deathclaw and all of that. What do you think?
I'm sorry, when you said that, I just imagined the Treehouse of Horror episode with the Avatar parody, where they just got into significantly larger robots each time.
That's funny. I haven't seen that. That sounds hilarious. That's
yeah. Great.
Okay. All right. You have another thought?
No, I'm using it over the web, so it's whatever.
It's a little funny. Okay.
But honestly, I think that you could also have the shield idea mixed in with the ghoul buster or whatever they're going to call it.
The ghoul buster. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you should have a giant shield with a giant mech that fights giant behemoth things. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, there's already the like Goss slash laser minigun, which requires its own separate fusion core. So imagine having to load in a bunch of different cores.
Yeah, or like a massive pack of cores that they're all like together. You know when you buy like a pack of batteries and they're all lined up next to each other? Imagine a box with a bunch of fusion cores all in there that you slot into like one big compartment because it requires like one of the ton of them.
Like the gamma cores?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, because it would require a lot of power, so that makes sense. Who else wanted to chime in? I saw another hand. I think I saw another hand. Anybody else? Maybe I didn't. I didn't see any other hands. All right. Any other thoughts about giant suit? Void, you got any thoughts to wrap this up?
Big suit equals big damage.
Yes, yes. Big suit. You know what they say about people with big suits? They have big
damage. They're compensating.
They're compensating for lack of damage? Azir, welcome again to the show. What is your thought about technology?
This actually comes from one of my super in-depth nerdy Institute playthroughs. Take over the Institute, redirect the department, start making synthetically enhanced body parts made from the genetics of the person they're actually going in, and then hardwiring those into bats.
Okay. All right, so hardwiring them into vats, so that for combat, uses?
Multiple uses, but more or less like your arm is programmed that literally something could be happening you don't even notice, and you've already pulled the gun and have shot.
So it kind of has a mind. It would be like adding AI to other body parts that functions on its own for your own benefit.
But you got to RoboCop it. You got to put the little program at the end that they can't turn on you.
Right.
That's the key.
Right. Right. There is a thing that happens with people who have had the surgery where they split their brain down the middle, whatever that's called, where
lobotomy.
Well, then lobotomy is the front. It's like, I'm talking like down the
center.
I'm
pretty sure it's just called split brain surgery.
Split brain surgery or whatever, right? But there's a thing where some people who have had that have reported that one side of their body seems to have its own personality that they can't deal with. Like and sometimes it'll be violent, like self-harm violent. Like that kind of thing. Like they'll be having a conversation with somebody and the other hand will just go pick up something like a knife. And then they have to be like, oh, no, hold on. No, put that down. Like weird stuff like that. So I would imagine something like this could be very similar. And of course it's Fallout. So the technology is not going to be perfect. And yeah. So are you thinking like, I mean, do you start with a hand? Do you start with arms? Do you put legs in there? Do you find yourself having to just like walk up and leave the room accidentally? And you're just like, I don't know where I'm going.
In typical Fallout fashion, he starts off as an experiment, soldiers helping that, you know, replace arms and limbs and things of that nature. Really, though, you're figuring out how to start programming them to do things. And then you get a whole line of Manchurian candidates.
Okay. Okay. This feels like this also butts up to the whole synth thing because it's a cyberpunk debate too of like how much of your body do you replace till you are no longer yourself? It's a Ship of Theseus sort of thing, you know, like do you replace everything? And then if your brain's still there, are you still you? Is it kind of like a robo brain, but you went the other direction? You didn't take the brain out. You just remove the rest of the body parts and replace them over time. Like that opens up a whole bunch of different topics for that kind of thing. So
we could have our own robo workbench for ourselves.
Yeah. Or just use the same one and then just work on yourself or build a robot that then works on you.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing is if you can replace an arm, you could add an extra arm. So you could have like a third or fourth arm or a third or fourth, any part of your body that leads to all sorts of weird conversations.
Yeah. That's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
You stop talking because it gets weird.
It's already getting weird, man. That's how it goes. Germinator, what's with all the subs again? What are you doing? Thank you so much. Appreciate it. CadPat has some thoughts on this one. What do you think, CadPat?
Okay. The way I'm thinking of it, it can either go two ways. It could go the David Martinez Cyberpunk Edgerunners way,
mm-hmm.
where you eventually just strap your whole body into like an exosuit that has like vitals and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a sleeper agent almost. So
right
after.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. Yes. Keep going.
Yeah. But like have it be Fallout, of course, not like the RSOC or Militech or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That already. Yeah. Or the other way is we saw in season one that they had a rudimentary prosthetic with the Enclave scientist. I cannot remember his name.
Wilzig.
So maybe that's the only one they could find on maybe. The West Coast.
Yeah. I could. So you've got me thinking in another direction, too. You could have something happen with the Institute develop this technology. Let's say you've got Fallout 5, right? And you've got the Institute, you've got the Enclave, you have some big reveal about where they're located, probably in the TV show that continues into the game. But then you also have some conflict between the Enclave and the Institute, and the Enclave captures some of that technology and starts using it for themselves. And then they start working that as a project in the wasteland to get back on the good side of all the people by helping people in the wasteland who have lost a limb or whatever be able to function. And so they start doing this out of generosity and giving people, here's a robotic arm. But like you're saying, there's a sleeper agent inside the arm that slowly takes over their mind. It slowly builds out more tech into their body that eventually co-opts their own consciousness. And that arm is not actually a free gift. It's a means to an end by the Institute. Yeah. So that could be really interesting.
Or they could, it could have been a Russian nesting raid. So, friggin' Enclave stole from the Institute. Maybe the NCR or Brotherhood stole from the Enclave, and so on and so forth, until just random people who've lost limbs somehow find these limbs, and it's just chaos.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they don't know what it even does once, and then they attach it to their bodies, and all of a sudden they're spouting, like, I don't know, propaganda for some organization they haven't even heard of, maybe, because they just live somewhere else in the wasteland. Yeah, I could see that.
A Minnesota wastelander suddenly hailing on to the Boston Enclave.
Sure. Yeah, like, what? How did that work? Yeah, I could see that as well. All right. Anyone else want to chime in about this one?
Oh, sorry. Adam Stroud's post in the chat.
Thaddeus is so jealous. Adam, yeah, do you want to chime in about that?
I'm just saying, you keep talking about adding limbs, and bro is losing limbs left and right.
That's
at this
true.
Point. In season three, he's, we don't even know. He's going to need this thing.
Yeah, that's
he's
true.
He's only lost one so far.
Well,
yeah.
He's showing signs of deterioration of more.
Soon he's going to be like the quadriplegic cornhole player.
Lost a limb, gained a mouth.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, this one's fun. Pumpkin, did you want to chime in? I just glanced. I saw your hand. No, you good? You good? All right. Any other thoughts on this one? No? Azir, do you want to wrap this up? Any other thoughts? What do you think about these ideas?
Oh, they're great. It's the thing about Fallout. There's no such thing as like too ridiculous. So you can pretty much go as far as you want, pretty much anywhere you want. Very cyberpunky differences with it all being synths. You wouldn't be able to tell unless you saw the attachment scars.
Yeah.
So they'd be able to be sleeper agents.
Right. And you could even build out the similar kind of development process that happened with the synths, where like the early attachments were much more mechanical looking and you could tell, but the later ones were maybe even just biologically, 99% biologically, their own arm regenerated, but with some changes to the DNA and tech underneath it, you know, something like that. Yeah, you can have that work out. Adam's job?
Did we discuss whether or not you can add like super mutant arms or limbs of a Mirelurk or something else?
Oh man. Yeah, that could be. What do you think about that, Azir?
You know, having a trench coat and you pull out a Mylar claw, that'd be pretty fascinating. You could do entire builds around mutations and stuff like that. You could also, instead of having armor, you could upgrade your arms.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, you could have a super mutant left arm, Mylar claw right arm.
Yeah. That turns into all sorts of weird body horror stuff.
A pair of Deathclaw legs.
Deathclaw legs. Yeah. Hey, look at the Deathclaw legs on that one. All right. Well, then, thanks for the idea.
Giant chicken legs to move faster.
Giant chicken legs. All right. Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to chime in with some ideas here for tech? I don't know if we've covered everybody who brought ideas this week. Germinator has an idea. What do you think, Germinator? And thanks again, man. Thank you for all the subs and your support. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, that's quite all right. So with all the old pre-war tech that's still floating around, look at the trains, look at the tanks, some of the trucks and that. What's stopping someone like the Enclave or the Brotherhood of Steel from producing a miniaturized steam turbine powered by a fusion core to actually power everything? Like, think the way the power is generated in a suit of power armor, but instead a steam turbine or piston steam engine to run all the vehicle's machinery.
So
rather than...
So is it fusion-powered steam tech?
Yes.
That's where you're going with this? So you would have, like, you're talking about, like, an entire, like, a factory setup that would be able to power, say, like, an entire community of people? That kind of thing?
No. Well, you could. That wouldn't really be miniaturizing it, but
right.
Think on the planes of all the old trains that you see in so far every single one of the games,
mm-hmm.
or the rail. I mean, all you need to do is repower one of those fusion driven locos, and you've got yourself a train, and ain't nobody stopping you.
Yeah, so
think pain train, but actual train.
Okay, so I can see how this would be beneficial to something like the settlement system in Fallout 4, right? Because you can set up caravans between your settlements, but you're suggesting what if you were to like reuse and update like rail technology? Is that where you're going with it?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Or any vehicle that you find out in the wasteland, look at the old tanks.
Yep.
I mean, it's an engine hooked up to a transmission. All you need to do is pull the motor out and put a steam engine in it.
Yeah, yeah. So would it make like choo-choo sounds? It would be like a choo-choo tank?
No, but unless you put a piston-driven engine in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd sound like a steam turbine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'd be heard from a mile away.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine it would be pretty loud. CatPat has thoughts on this. What do you think, CatPat?
Okay, one thing I'm hoping is that it lasts longer than the fusion cores, because if you're having to swap out those fusion cores every, what, half hour, depending on what perk you have? I don't know. It's going to get annoying. The other thing is you could do the Metro Exodus route with this as well. So for those who have played, you have a train, you can go all across Russia and explore. So maybe they could do that, and if they did in Fallout 5, and have it be like how you were talking about a couple of months ago, Tom, how it would just be the world engine, and just maybe instead of vertebirds flying everywhere, it would be a train that could carry vertebirds. Heck, you could even put a whole army on a train and take them across country.
Right. Yeah. So this ties back, and I think you're onto something here, because both of you, because this ties back to there's so much in Fallout being so American and Americana focused and based on the history of the United States that tying something like revitalizing the wasteland through building train connections across the wasteland, just like the United States, like government expanded into the West using train connections. But I think Germany, I think you're trying to get at like, you could miniaturize steam tech and then use it in other ways too. So beyond just trains, like they could take that as the starting Correct. Point, but then you could like, so if your fusion core goes out, you could swap out the whole fusion core component on power armor and put in like a steam powered, like, engine battery yep. something. So now you've got like choo-choo armor. that doesn't make any sense.
Look at it this way, my theory is that if one of those fusion cores can power a generator in the basement of a building, like in the first mission you get in Fallout 4,
right, where you first find the fusion core in the thing. Yeah,
that thing's been there for 200 something years,
right.
Who's to say that you can't do the same thing and just have it boil a little water.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Okay.
And you could just make it a closed loop steam system so you don't even have to change the water.
Yeah. I would imagine it would take up more space, but I don't know. I don't know enough about engineering, that kind of thing. What was that, Cad?
An AIO for your power armor.
AIO. Void, you've got some thoughts. What do you think?
So, Logan has called me out. He said I'm about to go science on this, which I am. So, for one, and I'm not telling you you're completely wrong, steam engines, especially in locomotives, are piston engines. The way that they operate is they have one piston that goes back and forth. The chamber just changes where the steam is. Now, what you're talking about is pretty much just how a nuclear reactor works.
Yep.
It takes the steam from the cooling tower and powers a turbine, which turns it into rotational energy, which is then taken by a generator.
Not from the cooling tower itself. The cooling tower is what comes out of the turbine.
Right. You understand what I mean.
So if we fall out this, then you could walk around in a power armor suit with a little chimney on your back that looks like a little miniaturized nuclear power station.
Exactly. And
I love it.
I mean, you could.
So pretty much we're just gonna have a bunch of nuclear reactor towers everywhere, just miniaturized.
Yeah, little miniaturized now, nuclear reactor towers. Yeah.
Now,
one thing I will point out here, Void, if you look back, as soon as steam trains got electric lights, they were equipped with steam turbines to produce said electricity.
Correct.
That's where I'm going with it. Because if you produce electricity, what's a fusion core used in a power armor for? To produce electricity to run the hydraulic pumps and everything.
So can I ask you, how are we producing this heat?
Oh, we just let the fusion core cook.
Okay, so you're just going to let this fusion core, which is pretty notorious for not getting hot on purpose, you're going to let that get hot, which is going to deplete the fusion core rapidly within a very short amount of time, a couple minutes.
Well, what if, I mean, this is all fantasy stuff. What if you added another mechanism that could use the fusion core to then power something that heats and keep them separated and then...
Well, I have a solution for this part. I have a solution for this part. It's called heating coils.
Yeah, so
you just use heating coils instead of the fusion core itself. That way, because you're using a nuclear generator.
Sorry to interrupt. Can I get the coals notes, please?
It's like this is all this to me. This is all very interesting, but it feels very much like a side tangent about like the mechanics of how you would make this work, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. That's cool. I'm more interested in like what does this actually change in the game, or what does this actually change in the universe that makes it more interesting? You know, so
makes fusion cores last longer. Is what I'm getting.
Right, right. So I think the TLDR of all of this is there's a lot of engineering that would have to be involved to make this work. But assuming that they actually made this work, this would be really funny to think about as like this combination of like old timey steam tech with futuristic tech in a way, because there's so much in Fallout that feels like that weird juxtaposition of those two things, right? So I totally get it, Germinator. I totally see where this is going, and that does make a lot of sense. So there you go. That's where we are with that one. I'm keeping a watch on the time. We're kind of getting real close to the end here. I want to make sure that if anybody else had any technology they wanted to suggest and talk about, that we cover that before we wrap it up. Nova?
I thought of one, just a simple cell phone. It would have saved. So, not even a cell phone, just a. It could have been like the original brick from Motorola. Just having that in the universe would have saved so many different things from happening and not happening at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I had the same thought earlier too, as I was thinking through things. I was like, what if they had cell phones? What if somehow they invented cell phones not before the bombs dropped, 200 years later, and then started building out cell technology in the wasteland? That would create all sorts of weird, I don't know, like the ability to communicate at long distances using cell tech, maybe even through, I don't know, they discover a satellite that's still in orbit, so they're able to just beam so there's a lot of lag.
There's plenty of satellites already in orbit because the gunners will still use satellites to redirect radio signals
between
each other across the Commonwealth.
Yeah, so you could set up like a cell tower in very specific locations that go to a specific few satellites. And so it could be kind of shoddy, but then would still allow for communication at long range if, you know, the Brotherhood wanted to set that up or something. You know, like I could imagine something like that. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, exactly like that. Because I was just thinking, just like how many like time sensitive pre-war events happened that could have been basically prevented, or could have been shortened, or could have actually just gone through if somebody did not have to run or drive somewhere, and then were caught in the bombs falling, or
were
shot because they were a dissident and the enclave was hunting them, or something like that.
Right.
Where they just, you know, pull out their brick out of their pocket, extended the wire all the way up. They're like,
yeah, the antenna.
Darla, don't go home. They're mourning for you at home, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Scream for Death says they had radios, but the difference is radios you have to transmit and then be ready to receive, whereas cell tech, you could just call somebody at a whim. Ash has some thoughts. Ash, I want to hear your thoughts because you haven't had a lot of time to talk yet.
I haven't really had a whole lot to say tonight, but I mean, they did have landline telephones, but again, there's no guarantee that you could reach the person you're trying to reach.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But, it goes back to
landline phones, because you find them all over the wasteland. Is the rotary, the old rotary landlines.
You can't carry that with you.
And like I said, there's no guarantee that you can reach the person you're trying to reach.
Exactly. Yeah. And in the wasteland, all of the infrastructure for the phones would have been broken for landlines. But to build something like using cell reception might actually be possible at distance due to satellites still being orbiting.
And like it could have still been in its infancy in the pre-war era, where it could have been, I don't know, like due to the resource wars, it could have only been introduced 10 years prior. And so it was certainly novel technology, just like how it was throughout the 80s, where
I believe it was
introduced in 1979, but it really did not, cell phones didn't really catch on until like the late 90s, though, as a typical appliance that everybody has. So it could have been that same situation where it would be like a Voltech exec or some other big shot businessman or a scientist or something along those lines, or a general would be the ones who have it. It'll be the people who really needed them because they had the need, or they just had the expendable cash. And so they'd still be rare technologies, but then they'd be highly prized, but then they also would have been extremely useful for those time sensitive situations that we always seem to come across in the Fallout universe. That is like somebody who's rushing somewhere, like I said before, to go do something when they could have just called somebody ahead of time and relayed what they needed to tell them.
Right. Yeah. And I would imagine that due to the lack of miniaturization, it also would have made it hard, kind of like how people had car phones for a while. Yeah, this is a thing a lot of people don't even think about anymore.
Brick, which yeah, was the yeah, first exactly. Cell phone, like this big,
right? The brick, or like I remember, like I was a kid in the 80s. I'm old. I remember people in movies having car phones because the phone was so big you couldn't carry it around, so you would mount it in the middle of your console in your car, and it needed to be powered, so it would use the power of the battery in the car to do it. Like,
yeah, I'm surprised that there's not even that in the Fallout universe. You would think at least the presidents at their motorcade would have car phones or something along those
like
lines.
That
but at the camp, was it Rapidan camp? I mean, you can't really see into the vehicle, I don't believe. Well, isn't one of them a convertible? But you don't even see a radio or anything inside there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to go back and look.
Because it's the motorcade that is up the road from Rapidan camp, where people were assassinated right before the bombs fell by Bagman, or Bagman's assassin, or whatever. And you can, I think one of them is a convertible, and you can see inside of it, if I remember correctly, or maybe the doors are open.
I'd be surprised.
Anything inside there.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they added the tech and it was already there and they just didn't even bring it up. CatPat has thoughts. CatPat, what are you thinking?
Okay, first of all, people think that radios are easy to deal with. They're really not. They are finicky as all anything. And along with that, you have to tune into the channel you want to be on. But everybody, doesn't matter who you are, someone's going to be on that channel who's not supposed to be.
There's a lot of complications with radio. Timing, frequencies, interference, other people using the channels. Yeah, so you're right. There is, yes.
Yes, and second thing is, I don't know how many people know about this, but PoseidonNet, I think it was in Fallout 4, the Poseidon Energy Company, there was something about an internet like beta or something like that. So the technology might still be there where you could get these cell towers or hook them up to power lines.
Well, that was introduced in Fallout 2, where at the power plant, they were actually basically have a Zoom call between the chosen one and one in a control system enclave guard. But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it was like a glorified network kind of connection, right? Like
I'm pretty sure that was hardwired in, whereas it was basically a cable that was actually running out to the ocean, because
like early Gecko, internet, like between universities was running through landlines from one place to another, and you had to kind of like radio, had to be prepared to like have your computers on and be ready to send and receive. That kind of thing.
Yeah, well, this will all be wireless is what I'm talking about. And you don't have to have a hardwired connection.
Right. Yeah. No, that's interesting. Adam Schild has a thought, too. What are you thinking?
I was going to say, we know it's possible because we've seen the transporting of orders and signals through this most recent episode or this most recent season of the Fallout TV show. With the cranking up the signal and everything for activating the mind control stuff.
Yeah, there's wireless tech. That is, yeah, that is a thing. I guess the question is, you know, what are the distance limitations of that, and can it work like a cell phone? Yeah.
Yeah, because he said he has. I don't know if we're allowed to get into spoilers at this point. I mean,
well, here, spoiler. This is the end. Getting close to the end of the episode. Spoilers for the TV show if you haven't watched. So just spoiler jump ahead a few minutes. But go ahead.
At near the end, doesn't he say there's like agents all over the wasteland with the stuff?
Yeah, he already released people out who have that already connected.
So therefore, that would imply they do have the technology to reach a longer distance.
Well, I mean, it implies that those things embedded in them still work at a distance. It doesn't, like, just because it's not near the controller that can change the settings doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be near the controller. Like, I can turn on my TV with my remote control and I can change the volume, and then I can take the controller and walk outside and go across the street, and it's too far to reach the TV, but the TV doesn't turn off, right? So, like, that would be my analogy for that. So, but we don't really know. Like, that's a good question. Like, do they have a distance range? Is there some sort of major satellite dish that communicates with all of them or something like that? I mean, we do know that there was satellite tech too. So that's a piece of it as well. These are interesting questions. Yeah.
Plus there are wireless wiretaps in season one.
Yeah. So, yeah. So there is some form of wireless tech. But yeah, the question is, like, is it, can it be built in mass, and has it ever been? I don't think it has been in the past in the history of the series, but
it could be.
But it could be. Like, if you had an organization willing to build it out, like the Brotherhood, somebody with the actual, you know, technological know-how and expansive control of area to do so, then maybe. Yeah. All right, Nova, you want to wrap this one up? We gotta move on.
That was my idea.
Yep, that was your idea. I know, but did you have any other final thoughts? And one chime in.
No, not really. Honestly, I'm just saying it kind of surprised me that there is no, or at least up to date, there has not been any cell phone technologies ever been introduced into the game. Like that seems like something be pretty useful in the Fallout universe.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, I think we've covered everybody. I know Ash and Lil Green, you guys are just hanging out, being part of the show. Lil Green, how's it going? Any thoughts on any of the things that have come up? I know you've just been chilling, but just want to give you a chance to talk.
No, not really. My mind's kind of shot this week, so I didn't. I just don't have ideas.
Okay. Well, maybe we could take your brain out and put it in a little dog robot body.
Oh, that would help. Maybe I don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, I don't think dogs pay taxes. Pretty sure. Pretty sure they don't. But cool.
I claim my dogs as dependents.
That's what I need to do too. Thank you everybody for joining me. We're going to wrap this up real quick. Be thinking about your like two sentence elevator pitch for what's going on and how people can get a hold of you. And while you formulate that, we'll go back through everybody in just a minute, but I've got to shout out our newest patron, Sam H. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you decided to join us. Also our sentry bots, Germinator, Larry D and the main monkey. Thanks for your support and your continued support. Appreciate that. If you'd like to join us on a future chat like this or even get other stuff, there's a bunch of stuff on the Patreon. You guys have heard this before. Patreon.com/Fallout Lorecast for that stuff. Plus, you can help out by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts like this one from Thelbind, who says 5 out of 5 as a longtime Fallout fan and was overjoyed to find that someone makes a Lorecast for it. They wrote forecast. I think that was probably a typo. The Fallout forecast. Robots does an amazing job of keeping the lore interesting and fun. I find myself agreeing and debating things while I listen at work. I found the podcast about 2 weeks ago and have listened up to episode 223 so far and plan to get through the rest. Keep fighting the good fight. Well, thank you so much, Thelbind. And feel free to, if you want to join us and debate some of these ideas with us on the show, you're welcome to do that. Joining the Patreon. But here we go. We're going to wrap this up. Thank you, everybody, for joining me and all of our Twitch chat for your ideas and things. I love all the comments and engagement. I can't call out everything everyone says, but I really do appreciate it. And we all make sure that we read those as that happens. But I'm going to go through in order of everybody on the screen. We'll start with Nova and we'll wrap it up with Pumpkin King. Nova, what's your quick little elevator pitch? What do you got going on?
Nothing much. Just living life to the fullest, I suppose. That's all I have to say.
That's it.
You guys have a good rest of your evening.
Cool. Thanks for being here. Adam's Child, what do you got?
Hello. You can find me in the Robots Radio Discord at Adam's Child. You can find me on Instagram at _JT_ SIMMS, and you can find me on Backstage. I do acting and voice acting.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, good luck with that. That's cool.
Thank you.
Germinator, thanks again for all the subs and your choo-choo. We'll call it a choo-choo core. Choo-choo core idea?
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Anything you want to share?
Not at the moment. It might be live streaming once we start seeding it.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, I'm out on a farm, so.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for being here. CadPat, anything to share to wrap it up?
Well, due to OPSEC, I can't really talk much about my Instagram or all that, but I am on Fallout 76, so if you ever see the cliff face near the... I can't remember the name of the freaking hotel, the big hotel, though. I keep wanting to say the Whitetail. No.
White Spring? You're talking White Springs?
Yeah. Okay. It's okay. West of the... Oh, sorry, cold. West of the White Springs. If you ever see the cliff face, stop by. That's my camp.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, go visit him in the game. Stop by and give him a big thumbs up and be like, hey. Very cool. Thanks for joining us. Lil Green. You got anything?
Sam, as always, follow me on Instagram, lilgreen_photography. Or if you want to play 76 on the PC, hit me up in the Discord.
Very cool. Awesome. Ash? You got anything for us?
You know, same old, same old. You can find me in the Discord. Same name, Brekkie Dreamer Ash. Always happy to chat. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Very cool. Here. Yeah, thanks for joining us. And Azir, thanks for joining us as well. First time.
It's been fun. I've kind of just started to figure all this stuff out. I'm restarting my Reddit page for my settlement builds. I'm about to start getting into streaming and live broadcast at 76. I'll start giving that information out once I get it all set up. But that's all I really got going right now.
Cool. Cool. Sounds good. Good luck with all that. Main Monkey, I know you've been kind of hanging out. I hope I didn't miss you trying to chime in or anything because you haven't been on camera. Are you able to chat? I don't know if the audio is working. Guess not. I'm going to take that as a no. We're going to move on to... Thanks for being here and for your support. Moving on to Void. What do you got going on, hello. Void? Hey.
I am Jeremy Geiser, the host of the Dungeons & Dipshits Live Play D&D podcast. Logan, or Pumpkin King, and I have also now started a YouTube channel called Tism Talks, where we currently only have two videos up about our own Fallout iceberg that we are building. It is going to be basically our own version, just talking through random bits of lore. And yeah, there's a lot more icebergs to come because we have more people that want to do them.
Cool. Cool. Very cool. Well, good luck with that. That's always fun to start a new project like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thanks for joining us. And then Pumpkin's going to wrap it up. Pumpkin, you got anything going on?
I mean, of course, Jeremy just said we have the new YouTube channel, Tism Talk. A lot of stuff that's planned for that. You could also find me on Blue Sky. My link is in the Discord, so... You can always find it there. Our Blue Sky for Dungeons and Dipshits is also on in that.
Yep.
So, yep. Jeremy, you forgot that. And you could always also find me in the Discord.
You
so.
Guys nag each other like an old married couple. It's great.
I'm freaking out about that. Yeah, it's on Instagram, too. I'm not even freaking out about that. I said the YouTube channel name wrong. It's Tism Moments.
Tism Moments.
But the type of videos are called Tism Talks, yeah. Is what we're calling them.
Got it. Yeah, go check out all that stuff. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you, Chad, for being here. And this was a super fun conversation. I had no idea where this was going to go because I was at dinner. I was with my wife. We went out and got Mexican food, my wife and my son. And I'm thinking, like, what even are we going to talk about? I have a few ideas, but I'm so curious, and you guys came up with some really cool ones. So very cool stuff. Thanks again for all the support and for being here. And I'll be back next week. In fact, I've got a really cool interview coming up, which I'm doing just in a few days, that'll go up on the episode that comes out after this one. And I can't wait for you guys to hear it. So I'll be back soon. Stay safe in the wasteland, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.